All right, we're back at Grand X Media headquarters in Austin, Texas for another episode of Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross Bolin, and I'm here with Dylan Chavarri.
Hey, Ross.
And we're also joined again by writer and noted contrarian Dan Regester.
What up, what up?
Hello, Dan.
How are you?
Anyway.
I'm not doing so hot, man.
You're not?
No, I feel like shit. Allergies are killing me. I took some Allegra D, though.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Pseudoephedrine. I'm all about that stuff.
Anyway, here on Backdoor Cover, every week we talk college football, sports betting, and how to please your lover orally. The first thing we want to talk about today is the tailgate photo and video contest we've got going on Instagram. If you go to @TFMTailgate on Instagram, you can DM us photos to be featured on that Instagram page, and you can email us videos to TFMTailgate@TotalFratMove.com. It's important that you understand this. DM the photos, email the videos. Thank you.
People are getting that wrong.
People
huh?
are not. I can't do anything with your video DM.
We need the file, people. We need the raw video file.
I have to go into the DMs and send 100 people a fucking response that says, please email this to.
For the love of God, just email it.
For fuck's sake, man. Anyway.
You know that's just going to make people send more DMs and not.
Well, they won't get posted. Yeah. Fuck them.
That's their L.
Bill, I see you got your new Yeezys on today.
I do.
What's with that bright orange stripe along the side?
I'm going to be real with you. I have no idea.
I still don't know
how I feel about these, but I feel cooler as a human when I have them on.
It's more of a status thing.
Yeah. I don't really know how I feel about how they look,
though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway, we're giving out weekly prizes from Rowdy Gentlemen and Man Outfitters for the most liked photo or video on that @TFMTailgate Instagram account. This week's winner was the Mom's Drink for Free Double Mom Ice Luge from Arizona State University tailgate. If you sent that in, email us backdoorcoverpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you with your prize. But all week long, we had a music festival this weekend. We had Austin City Limits in Austin this weekend and all day Saturday. So there was no photo or video posting going on physically on Saturday. So I'm going to do them all week. I'll just be putting shit up this whole week. So send your stuff in. If you already sent it in, I'll get it up if it's any good. And that's it for that. That's that. That's fucking that. Dan?
I can tell you're washed from this weekend.
I'm not too bad. I didn't go yesterday, so I'm
a little recovered.
I'd say I'm like 65% brain capacity ish. I'm more than Dylan.
I'm running at about 12%, man. It's rough over here.
This guy's gonna. Is
12% of me is still better than most people, though. You know what I'm saying?
What did you just take? What medicine?
Allegra D.
Is that the one that? Are you gonna fall asleep?
You got to show ID for it. It's a good shit.
Shouts to Allegra D. That's our new sponsor.
This is a true story. You show me your ID and you got to like sign some shit. And the guy goes, "You're not gonna go Breaking Bad with this shit, are you?" I was like, "Nah, we good."
The guy made a Breaking Bad joke to you?
Yeah, it was funny.
Damn, respect. Because I'd make that joke if I worked at like CVS or whatever. I think I'd make that joke every time. I don't know that
so
it would ever get old.
And itchy. But I laughed. I was in a terrible mood, but I still laughed at it. It was good.
I'm rooting for Evolution to just take you out.
You know what? People say I have a really good immune system, and that's true. Allergies, for whatever reason, like the last couple of years, just started kicking my ass in the fall time, man.
Well,
I wouldn't worry about me, though, Bill.
Allergies are not real, so.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
They're not.
They're very real.
Dan, we're not.
American-made bullshit.
We're entering a very fine line difference between entertaining conversation and a full-blown Dan Regester conspiracy theory about allergy and pharmaceutical companies. Let's just talk about Louisville
Clemson. Let's just get into the games.
For the love of God, man. Starting off with Louisville Clemson, which I hear was just a fantastically fun game to watch.
Yeah, you were too busy at Chainsmokers, huh?
I was jamming out to, what's that, Closer?
Closer. That's
the worst song ever.
Dylan's favorite song.
That is the worst fucking song I've ever heard in my life.
I will say this, though, and I don't remember a whole lot about their show, to be honest with you. It was towards the end of the night, but they brought out Designer, who performed Panda.
Really?
Which was the funnest thing ever.
Designer was there?
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that guy's a lunatic. Anyway, Louisville Clemson. Death Valley.
Electric atmosphere, incredible game.
It's my first chance to watch Lamar Jackson play. And the kid,
this was the first one you saw?
The first time I've seen him play, yeah. You know, except for like highlights. And he's just electric. He's just exciting to watch. He bounces off dudes like it's nothing. Like you, one guy cannot bring him down. It's insane.
He went into a very hostile environment, Death Valley. I think that was probably the loudest crowd I've ever heard, like on a television set.
He's 19 years old.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is he a sophomore or a freshman?
He was born in 1997.
Right? He's 19? Holy shit.
He's a full
he's a teenager.
A full decade younger than me.
He's a teenager.
And they were down like two or three scores, and he was like, he had it under control. There was like no worry in his.
He's got solid.
He's a sophomore.
He's mature.
Producer Micah says.
Calm,
he's
composed.
Very calm, composed. Very poised. He's a very poised, young individual.
Which is what you want in a quarterback.
It is. And I don't put the, like, nothing about that game told me that Louisville doesn't deserve to be in the playoff come the end of the year. I still think they're a top four team. I think they dropped a seven after that loss.
Yeah, seven.
But they still have a matchup with Houston later on in the season. I think that's going to be vital. Like, whoever wins that game is going to get the spot. And I think Clemson and Louisville are both, like, Clemson's probably going to win out. They're going to win the ACC, and they're going to end up facing each other. They'll give them, like, two versus three spot.
Yeah, if Louisville wins out, they deserve to go.
Lamar Jackson a Heisman favorite now? The Heisman favorite?
Well, he lost, so no.
Well, it's one loss, though.
Right. I'm not saying he's out of it. I'm saying he's not the favorite anymore. You have to stay undefeated to stay at the top. He can get it back at the end. Other teams will start to lose.
Who gets more hype than that guy right now?
I still think he's still the favorite.
I don't,
because I mean the McCaffrey train just derailed.
He's the only person I'm seeing getting talked about like that.
I mean McCaffrey. Like I think McCaffrey's done when it comes to the Heisman.
What the fuck
talk. Same with Stanford.
Him.
They just got railed.
Great white hope
on Friday. You know, fun little stat I saw.
The Heisman's bullshit, by the way.
Christian McCaffrey's never scored a touchdown on the road.
Yeah, I saw that. Ever.
That's incredible.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never scored a touchdown on the road.
As like this was a road game, and he again failed to score a touchdown.
That's pretty amazing.
All of his touchdowns have come at home or like on a neutral field.
I'll tell you why the Heisman Trophy is bullshit, by the way.
Why is it bullshit?
It goes to the quote-unquote most outstanding college football player of the year. And that's stupid because, A, defenders do not win it. B, only receivers and quarterbacks win it. It's the most popular quarterback or receiver on the best team.
When's the receiver?
I'm sorry. Running back. Not receiver. Running back or quarterback. It's the most popular running back or quarterback on the best team.
I was going to say.
It wins Heisman every year.
Last year was Derrick Henry.
Pretty rare that a receiver wins it, right?
A receiver does not win it.
Yeah, it's insane.
The last non-quarterback / running back to win it was... what's homeboy's name from Michigan?
Woodson.
Charles Woodson won it, but he was a
Jesus,
cornerback.
How long ago was that?
He was a cornerback / return man.
Yeah.
And had he not been a return guy, he wouldn't have won it because he had a few touchdowns returning punts.
Wow.
It's a stupid award.
Okay. Well, I will say it's pretty funny to me that we spent so much time talking about Christian McCaffrey and white running backs, and then he had a bust week, which pretty much wiped him completely out of the Heisman talk. Sorry about that. We jinxed. We're like the Madden cover of podcasts.
Can we give
talk shouts about
real
you,
quick
we fucking
to,
ruin you.
Actually, these aren't shouts. These are kind of anti-shouts. To producer Micah for ordering these blacked-out blinds for our podcast studio.
Really works.
That are completely transparent and the sun is just beating
down
on me right
now. I think the sun actually shines brighter into our eyes.
Yeah, it just amplifies
the
sun.
We got new curtains in the podcast studio with the reasoning being you have to have like – we want to be able to film this thing so you can see how handsome we are. And – so we wanted to get no sunlight coming in. These are translucent black like shades that we've got, basically.
Yeah, I can see everything outside right now through the blinds.
It's almost like looking through, what do you call it? What sunglasses have? They're like polarized.
Yeah.
All we've done is polarize the outdoors.
Yeah, way to go, Micah. Real bang-up job on this one. I wonder how much this one set us back.
Anyway. And now the segment of the show where we complain about the studio.
But back to
I still love the studio, though, Micah.
Back to talking about the Pac-12. Stanford's out. Washington, I don't know if they're legitimate or not.
Wow, yeah, I have no idea.
They destroyed Stanford.
I just don't think Stanford's that good. I didn't think they were that good. I think they're overrated. But I guess we'll see moving forward. But with the Pac-12 being wide open, you know what that means.
The Buffs?
That means TFM's team.
SCO?
They're still undefeated?
In Pac-12 play.
Oh.
They lost to Michigan, but they are now 21 in the AP poll and 23 in the coaches poll.
Holy shit. They are 21. Wow.
Yeah.
Did not realize that they were in the top 25.
I mean, it's really not out of line to say right now that they could win the Pac-12.
What's the rest of their schedule look like?
They got USC next at USC. That's gonna tell us a lot.
It's going to be a tough one.
That's a tough game.
Oh, dude, their schedule is brutal for the rest of the way. USC, Arizona State, Stanford, UCLA, Arizona, Washington State, Utah. Like, none of those are, like,
all winnable
easy
games.
Win games.
I mean, they're winnable.
I mean,
the Buffs are just starting to blow teams out.
Dude, this year, I feel like more so than any year in recent memory, there's not a whole lot of teams that I'm looking at like, damn, they're unbeatable.
No, I mean, I think that's just football as a whole. Like, the NFL right now is garbage. Every team sucks in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Rams are 3-1. The same team that got shut out 28-0 opening day is 3-1. They're not going 7-9 again this year.
The sports world right now is very confusing to me.
It really is. But when it comes to college football right now, it's Bama and it's Ohio State.
And that's pretty much it.
A whole lot of, like, I mean, that's Clemson is hit or miss, but I think the two teams that are going to be pretty locked in for the playoff and going to be unbeatable is Alabama and Ohio State.
I'm over here thinking about Reese because, you know, Texas is so bad. And their defense, like the worst defense I've ever seen. Do we get a call from Reese? We did?
We did.
He did. We'll hear from him later. I got a snap from him ACL with Amy's ice cream.
Yeah, I got the same snap.
I got that snap, too.
Hopefully that means he's – well, what day was that on? It was Saturday or Sunday?
It was Sunday. It was the day after.
So he lived – to see Sunday, at least. So that's good.
At the very least, he was alive yesterday.
And he got to enjoy some Amy's ice cream.
But did appear to not have dropped it. He appeared to have it in hand.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the caller from last week whose boyfriend was threatening suicide if they lost to Georgia.
If Tennessee lost to Georgia, he was going to kill himself.
Hopefully he didn't off himself with 10 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
You got to see the rest of the game, though. You can't. If you're suicidal, you got to at least see it out.
If we're talking about your life is on the line, you watch till the clock strikes zero.
Yeah, because you never know.
So how do you think that played out, though? All right, so
he has the gun.
Easton was loading it.
Easton throws that fucking dime. Georgia scores a touchdown. 10 seconds left. I think they get a celebration penalty, so they're kicking off from the 20. They return it to midfield. 4 seconds left. And fucking Dobbs I was in front of the TV at that point. I'm like, something weird is going to happen because fucking Tennessee is the cockroach of college football right now, and they just won't die.
Okay.
So I'm just, I'm filming it live, and I'm like, motherfucker, like.
With your phone?
With my phone. Just to, like,
what?
Just to be on, like, so I can post it on Twitter, because I know, like, fucking Tennessee is going to score here. Like,
oh my God.
I just have this feeling, because Tennessee is just this team. There's always that one team every year. The year after Florida State won the national championship, where they're just pulling games out of their ass and made the playoffs before they got blown out by Oregon, Jameis Winston would just pull things out of his ass, and Florida State would just win games they shouldn't. Tennessee is that team this year, and I knew like somehow they were going to pull this out of their ass, and so I'm filming it live, and Georgia's got this kid who's 6'6" back there to defend the Hail Mary,
knock it down.
What's that?
Knock it down. That's what
they
tell you.
Yeah, all you got to do, knock it down. And of course,
smack the fuck out of it.
A fucking like 5'11", 6-foot receiver from Tennessee just goes up, high points it. The 6'6 kid from Georgia doesn't even get close to it and just brings it home. Like, it was incredible. It was the immaculate reception.
Not a good year for Georgia. Not a good year at all.
Georgia's never good, man.
I mean, it's kind of a rebuilding year for Georgia.
I feel like they're always disappointing to their fan base, but this is just straight up embarrassing.
It's Kirby Smart's first year. Like, you give him a little time. He's got to get his recruits in. I think you blame this year on Rick.
I got a question. Where did the phrase, pull it out of your ass, come from? I mean, I get it. It's like it's coming out of nowhere. It's like, but why your ass? Who stores things in their ass?
People go to jail. Producer Michael, look this up. I have no idea.
I think that's maybe.
Maybe it's from prison. Yeah,
I think it's a prison term.
Maybe it's a prison thing.
I don't think that.
Where'd you get that crack?
Smuggle shit up your ass.
I pulled it out of my ass.
Yeah.
No.
Man, did you hear about John? He got that crack. He pulled it out of his ass.
Okay, it's not always a crack thing, though.
Well, it is. It is for me.
It's usually something with crack.
Crack.
Or some type of drug.
Crack.
Some type of smuggling of contraband.
What, so Tennessee has A&M and Alabama next?
Yeah. So we'll really see like how lucky Tennessee is going to be the next two games. I think the game against A&M's in College Station. But I think they have Alabama and Knoxville, so that works out for them. If they can somehow pull off this win in College Station, I don't know.
I think going 1-1 in those two is a huge.
It would be huge for them.
Huge win.
I think they're definitely going to win the East. Florida looks terrible. Granted, I think they get Del Rio back next week, but like I think they beat Vandy 13-7.
They've sucked for a while.
Just the whole East is so bad in the SEC.
Everybody kind of sucks.
I'm telling you. That's the state of football right now. If you're not Bama, you're not Ohio State. You just suck. Like someone's going to beat you. You're very beatable.
Maybe it'll make it more exciting towards the end of the season. You know, maybe there'll be some intensity.
The Big 12 is terrible, by the way. Is anyone watching the Big 12?
No, nobody cares about the Big 12.
I know.
Big 12's not going
to
team in.
I want the Big 12 to just die.
Are you cheering for like West Virginia? Are you like the SEC fans where they just if your team sucks, you just cheer for other conferences?
I have a strong take.
Other teams in your conference.
I have a strong take on this. I hate people, and I legitimately hate these people who support their conference as well as their team.
I mean, you can just say it. It's SEC schools.
Kentucky fans.
SEC schools are definitely the number one culprit in this scenario.
Who else does this? I'm not aware of anyone else.
But I think Big Ten's starting to get into
maybe
that.
Maybe it's pretty much the SEC. I can't fucking stand it.
It doesn't make any fucking sense. It doesn't happen in any other area of any other sport, collegiate or pro. Like, if the fucking Texans are losing, I'm not like, all right, go Colts, represent the fucking AFC
right.
South.
It's the dumbest thing ever. And actually, if you talk to an Alabama fan, they don't do this. Do you know why? Because they have a good fucking team. It's a little shit-ass team.
They don't need to.
Exactly.
They win the national championship
every year. It's Stockholm Syndrome. You take a team like Kentucky, who just gets their asses beat in every week, and like, oh well, we're losing because we're playing Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee, all these good teams. But the truth is, you're just trying to hit your success to us more. You know,
well, I want
to
be clear about something. It's not Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, no. It is.
Stockholm Syndrome is when you gain feelings of trust or affection.
Yes.
For your kidnapper.
Yeah.
In a hostage situation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what an Alabama-Kentucky
yes.
game is.
You think Alabama takes the rest of the SEC hostage and causes them all to have
you're using,
love for them?
You're getting too literal on
no,
me.
No, okay. But what it is, people are sad and pathetic. If your team's losing, just revel in the fucking losses and the hate. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what sports are all about.
But, I mean, I kind of get their viewpoint. In some capacity, because you want your conference to be strong. You want
no,
like
you don't.
When you're playing non-conference games, you want like if your team's good and you know that you're going to beat these other conference teams, you want that other team that you're going to eventually beat to beat these other Power Five teams.
That's not why they do it. They don't care about that. The SEC fans, okay, they're the guys in the bar who chant SEC. When Alabama wins a national championship, and they're not fans of Alabama,
those guys should be shot.
They don't care that it'll improve their strength of schedule or their chances of getting a playoff spot later on. That's not what they care about. They just like to pin their self worth to a.
If you're at the bar chanting SEC after Bama wins,
you're
not an Alabama
loser.
Fan. You should fuck off.
You're a fucking loser.
You fuck right off.
Yeah,
it's because of the South. Yeah.
And this is South all, this win. Is, this is also what it is. It's
South arise again.
Okay. When you're
Dan's mic off.
When your team wins, it makes you feel a little bit better about yourself, right?
Yeah.
It gives you a little boost, a little pep in your step. Makes you feel like a little bit of a winner, even though you have absolutely nothing to do with what just happened.
I mean, I've felt great this weekend.
So it's cheating when you're like, all right, now it's not just my team that I get a boost off of. It's the whole fucking conference. That's just cheating. It goes against everything that sports are about.
It's sad.
And it's what's wrong with America today. Make America not suck dick again is our podcast's phrase for when we run for president as a three-headed monster.
It's like if America wins a war, you know, abroad, and Canada's like, oh, fuck yeah, North America, we did it. No, y'all didn't do shit.
Mexico's down there like, all right.
America did it, you fucking idiots. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, we got a word from some of our other podcasts here at Grand X Media coming at you right now.
What's up, gambling degenerates?
Hey, you guys like sports, right? Awesome. Well, guess what? We've got a podcast about business, and you know what? Business is a sport. Everybody knows that. My name's Dave. That was Joe. We got Madison here. What's up, guys?
What's up, guys? Go for the win.
Yeah. Take it to the paint, to the hole, in the end zone. That's what I meant. Fuck.
You're going to lose a lot of money this season, and you need to do extra business to make up for that.
Yeah, and the only way you can learn how to do business is by listening to our podcast, subscribing on iTunes. It's Stu's Doing Business. Joe, thanks for that soft toss earlier.
Business.
Indeed.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Rob Fox, Jake Goldman, and Alex Buscemi from the Inside TFM podcast. If you like listening to college football podcasts, then you'll like listening to the Inside TFM podcast, which is the people who really don't go into the games and just stay drunk at the tailgate.
That's right. You know what's more important? Winning the tailgate, Rob.
Winning the tailgate, number one. Boosh?
I agree.
Boosh agrees. He's a man of few words, unless you anger him.
That's right.
So listen to the Inside TFM podcast. We're out every Thursday. Check us out on iTunes. Go ahead. All right. Let's get into our pick'em pool recap. Talk about our FoxSports.com pick'em page, which you can find by going to FoxSports.com and finding the college pick'em page and searching TFM or backdoor cover. I think you have to search TFM. Easily, you can find it by going to twitter.com/backdoorcover, and we've got the pick'em. It's pinned to the top. Brutal week for the pick'em league.
Yeah.
Not great.
It was a bloodbath.
I got on my phone yesterday just going over scores, and I was just kind of just trying to remember what we picked in here on Thursday, and I was like, wait, did I get a single one of these fucking
guys? Yeah, I did. I got on last night to see how I did when I was finally, like, not hungover enough to... I knew I was fucked, but oh, my God. Anyway, Carl A. is still in the lead with 44 points on the season. I'm in second with 42. Dan, you're at 38. Dylan, you're right there at 36 now. I didn't realize you were as close as you are.
Making a comeback.
The winner for this week, though, was Bart W., who went 9-6. All you had to do to win this week was go 9-6.
It'd be like shouts wildly to
Bart's,
mediocre.
Shouts to Bart's parents for naming him Bart, by the way.
Dude, his dad just loves The Simpsons.
I wonder if it's Bartholomew or just Bart.
It doesn't matter?
I don't know.
That's a shit name.
Bart, sorry, you got a shit name, man.
Go by your middle name or something.
But hey, what you do have is a $50 gift card.
You got 50 bucks
that's
coming
true,
your way.
To Man Outfitters.
Dan is correct. You did win yourself a $50 gift card to Man Outfitters, as the winner does every week in our pick'em pool.
I think my problem is with this pick'em pool is I fade my own picks on the podcast, and my picks on the podcast are always fire.
Yeah, that is your problem, you idiot.
I went 6-1 on the podcast.
You can't make picks on the podcast and then fade your own picks in our pick'em pool.
That strategy hasn't
to the
seen
podcast.
The work.
Anyway, Bart W. going 9-6 and winning, whereas last week you had to go 14-1. Good week for Bart W. to get in there and make 9 correct picks. I went 6-9. Dylan went 6-9. Dan went 4-11.
But again, 6-1 on the podcast.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Hit FoxSports.com. Find the college pick'em page. Search TFM. Or hit our Twitter, @backdoorcover. Contest is pinned to the top. Even if you haven't played all season, you can play just starting this week or whatever. Every week we pick a new winner. Like we said, shouts to Bart W. Good for him. Let's talk about the picks we made.
Yeah,
Miami,
if you listen to me, like you made some serious coin.
On these, if you did.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
but
what people see.
Seeing is that not even you listened to you, I doubt very much that anyone else did.
That's a valid point.
Miami at Georgia Tech. Miami was favored by 7, and they covered by 14.
Yeah, won by 2 touchdowns. Shout out to Ultra for helping me make that pick. That's what? Ultra Festival.
Shout out to the Ultra Music Festival from Dan.
It's the only reason I picked Miami.
Anyway, everybody
also
else.
Also to fade you.
Everybody else that's not Dan picked Georgia Tech. Who was our guest?
Did we get any of these right, Bill?
It was Jared.
Because we had the same picks.
Oh, yeah. Jared was our guest, and he picked
local
Georgia
celebrity.
Tech. Georgia Tech outright.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His premonition didn't work out, by the way. At all.
No, it did not. We'll get to that shortly. North Carolina at Florida State. It was FSU by 11, and they lost by...
A field goal. By two, actually.
By two. Yeah, so, no, they did not cover the 11-point spread.
Did you see that? That wasn't what the kicker did for North Carolina?
Yes.
I think he
was doing the tomahawk running down the field.
So he misses the extra point at some point in the game that would have been like the tying point, but he nails the 54-yarder
to win the
game as time expires and just tomahawk chops right.
The length of the field.
The length of the field right in Tallahassee's face.
It was fucking awesome.
It was incredible. He also looked kind of Native American too. Because he had the long hair, dark skin, like dark olive
probably
skin.
Just a normal white guy.
Probably
with
just
a, tan.
A normal white guy. But, no, it was all-time celebration.
Shouts to noted Tar Heel T.J. Yates, former Texans backup great.
Why?
He was super pumped about this game. Just saw him on Twitter, like, freaking out.
That's your boy.
Anyway, I took FSU. Dylan took FSU. Jared took FSU. Hey, guess who took North Carolina? It was Dan.
It was me.
All right, number 11, Tennessee at number 25, Georgia. We've already discussed how this went. Tennessee was favored by 3.5. They won by 3. I picked Tennessee. Dylan picked Tennessee.
Dan made all these picks just to spite us.
Jared
by the
picked
way.
Tennessee, like and actually, guess what? Dan picked Georgia.
Man,
so there you
I'm
go.
I'm so glad they didn't have to kick that extra point.
Man, aren't you? I'm glad I didn't have physical money riding on that one because I would have fucking lost my mind. All right, now we can talk about Jared and his stupid fucking premonition that took up literally 8 minutes of last week's podcast. Wisconsin at Michigan.
I enjoyed it.
Michigan's favored by 10. Michigan wins 14-7. First of all, there's nothing worse than watching a 14-7 college football game.
See, this is my only loss, but I think like I called 17-0 Michigan. It was pretty close. It was a shit game. I said the offenses would struggle.
How about that one-handed interception, though?
Dude,
you see that,
that
shit?
Was yeah. fucking filthy.
Might
that was one of
the
nastiest
so
interceptions I've ever seen.
I think I saw somebody on Twitter make that. They turned that into the Jordan logo.
I saw that too, yeah. Because Michigan's sponsored by Jordan and
the
all their shit
team,
is Jordan.
Yeah, sponsored by Jordan.
That was Jumpman. That was Jumpman. A filthy interception. I picked Wisconsin. So did Dylan. We both won that one. To cover. Jared also picked them, but he... said outright, which was incorrect. But he did say take the under because his premonition told him the score would be 30-13. It was, in fact, 14-7, not in Jared's favor.
So small victories for Jared.
Small victory. Did he watch the game at ACO?
Yeah. He was in the sports
center. Just makes it that much worse. He sat his ass in that tent the whole time. Anyway, number 3, Louisville at number 5, Clemson. Louisville was favored by 2. Obviously, did not cover. I took Louisville. Dylan took Louisville. Jared took Louisville. And Dan took Clemson.
I did. We could play back the tape, but I think I said Clemson outright.
You know what's going to happen? This week, I'm going to take every pick.
That's not a ballsy pick.
I'm going to take your picks this week, Dan, and I'm going to back them financially. And you're going to lose every single game because I took them.
He only made these picks to spite us, is what I'm telling you. He didn't put any thought into them. It's not like he knew what was going to happen.
Fucking
he
lock,
just wanted to piss
lock
us
of
off.
The week. This is it came
well,
down
I mean,
to this.
My lock was also right. And I also had I called the UConn cover against Houston.
So Dan's lock of the week was Texas Tech minus 28.5 over KU.
Easiest money you could have had.
Well, wasn't it super close?
No, they won by like
55-19. My lock was Tennessee minus 3.5 over Georgia. That was a loss. And Dylan was LSU minus 13 over Mizzou, which was a win.
And they routed him.
So
sorry,
good for
Micah.
You.
Yeah, so I won. Did the people on Twitter they picked?
Yeah,
the
they picked something.
What was it?
I don't know. You need to get on there and look at it.
Man, just tell me.
I don't know.
Jesus.
Important to note that. Good friend of the show and professional handicapper, fucking Wolf, picked Virginia plus 3.5 as his lock of the week.
They won outright, didn't
they? They won 34-20.
Fucking Wolf, man.
Big win for the fucking Wolf.
Shouts to fucking Wolf.
He knows something. He's an insider.
He's a degenerate.
He is a sick, sick man is what he is, with serious issues. But that's it for sports. And now to weather. But, all right, real quick. You're obviously looking to dominate the tailgate scene this year. So we recommend checking out our sponsor, Man Outfitters, at manoutfitters.com for everything you could possibly need to look incredible on game day. Got a ton of different great menswear brands on there. Got Yeti coolers and gear. Man Outfitters has everything you could need. Get 10% off your first order with the code CFB at checkout. That code expires October 31st, which is this month.
That's Halloween.
It is All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
And fall is here. It's about to cool down. You need shit that'll make you warm. Go to manoutfitters.com. Use the code CFB at checkout. Now a word from some of our other podcasts here at Grand X Media.
Hi, this is Dave from Touching Base. You know what I love? I love college football. And apparently you do too. Oh, hey, look, there's Will DeFreeze. What's up, Will?
What's up, Dave?
What do you think about college football?
I love college football.
I like it too.
That's Dylan. Dylan obviously likes it because he's hosting this podcast that you're listening to. But you know what else he does? He does Touching Base with us.
I do. I do Touching Base, and I love Touching Base.
I love to do the Touching Base.
I love Touching Base with my friends Will and Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a lot of fun. You should check us out. Listen to it. It's the guys from PGP plus Dylan.
Yeah.
And we talk about everything. Golf, love life, parties, rock and roll, rap. Nothing's off limits.
Yeah, it's like when you're thinking about how you like college football, and then you're like, what other hobbies do I have? And you're like, closing deals. Where can I listen to a podcast where deals are closed?
It's like sex in the form of a podcast.
Yes.
It's true. Many people are saying that.
People say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's trending on Twitter. So listen to us. It's called Touching Base. Again, let us touch your base.
You can find it on iTunes and SoundCloud, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's on both of those.
Cool. Subscribe. Listen. Party. Enjoy. Touch base.
Like you guys.
All right, let's get to the Backdoor Cover Hotline, where every week you can call and ask us questions or just rant or whatever you want at 800-392-6344. Again, that's 800-392-6344. If you are a female listener, Dan would appreciate it if you would call in and talk him off via voicemail. Say your name in school and then ask us a question. Every week we'll play the best caller calls, 800-392-6344. Let's get into this week's calls.
Hey, this is Reese from Texas. I don't even know really where to start. I guess I'll start with Friday's game. I spent all of Thursday hyping up Christian McCaffrey, so I was dumb enough to bet the farm on Stanford. I get paid the 30th, and I lost all my money on the 30th. To make matters worse, there I was sitting in the corner of Lil Woodrow's, basically with tears in my eyes, because I won't be able to go to Amy's this week. And there comes Dan and Boosh just walking in. Dan with a stupid smile on his face, while there I am dead inside. What am I supposed to do to say hi when I'm on the verge of an emotional breakdown? Everyone was right about Christian McCaffrey. He's a scrappy gym rat type player. He's going to go in the fifth round. I don't really want to think or talk about Texas. Like, how do you get 3 extra points blocked? Doesn't even make sense to me. It's playing like shit. I don't know what to do. If I don't have a team to ride for, what else is he doing on my Saturdays? I'm going to end up gambling all my money away. Like, what else do I have to live for on my Saturdays? I do have hope in Texas versus OU, though. This could be the type of adversity we need to bring our team together to the next level.
He's an optimist.
We really need this Texas.
What just
spread
happened?
Is even right now, but I think it's going to change to Texas at least +3. I don't know. What do y'all think about this game? Texas needs this win, and I need this win.
Texas OU,
that's this weekend. Reese, man, I don't know how you turned into an optimist at the end there, but I'm digging it.
A sudden burst of positivity.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Reese, look, you live in Austin, and we're in Austin. Why don't you come into the studio, man? Why don't we have Reese on here?
We need to get Reese in here.
I'm looking at an empty chair with a microphone, and Reese could be sitting right here just crying his eyes out.
To be fair, he could be dead, and the ghost of Reese could be sitting right there at this very instant. You would have no idea.
I think he's alive. He was eating Amy's ice cream on Sunday.
That's true. I find it fascinating that he was at the same bar as Dan, and
he was
couldn't
inside.
Bring himself to go speak to Dan, because how could he go speak to someone who has a smile on his face when he's dead inside?
He got paid on the 30th and lost all his money on the 30th. He bet the farm on Stanford.
His direct deposit hit his account and then was immediately gone.
Gone.
His money spent like 2 hours in his account and it was done.
And he lost his farm.
Yeah,
damn, dude. He could have just came up to me, too. Me and Boosh, we would have gotten the drink. Like,
Boosh would have drooled on you.
By the way, I have a question, just a general like gambling question. Does it sting less to lose a bet like he did when your team that you bet on just gets routed, or when it's close and you like believe till the end?
It stings more when it's close, but if let's say I bet on the Texans to cover the spread and they get the shit kicked out of them. They're just getting mopped the whole game. By the second quarter, I know there's no way in hell. It's a worse feeling for longer because you're just like, you feel so stupid.
Okay.
No, I completely disagree.
Initially, you think it's better. It stings less.
The sting of like a heartbreaking last second loss is worse.
Okay.
It's much better to just get blown out and not have to waste your time like invested in a game. If I'm going to lose, I want to lose
both ways.
It sucks. I hate that feeling of like, because at least with a last second loss, at least it was fun to be as emotionally invested as you were the whole time.
You try to justify
and then
your
get
bet.
Rocked at the end. Like, yes, it stings really badly, but like that's what gambling is for—to make those games even more exciting. When you're just getting the shit kicked out of you, it sucks.
Because then you're on to the next bet. You've already moved on. Like in the second quarter, third quarter, you're down by like 40. You're like, all right, fuck it. On the next game.
Yeah, and it also depends on, I guess I'm thinking of it in terms of betting on my own team.
Which you should never do.
Which I do every weekend. Dan, you're correct in that way. If it's a game that I'm only financially invested in, the second that financial investment is gone, I could give a fuck. So yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
If you're getting blown out in the second quarter, fuck it, on to the next game.
A little off topic here, actually extremely off topic. Producer Micah just pulled up on the TV up here that Maddie B. Raps is trending in Austin, and I'm 100% sure that I'm directly related to that. I've been tweeting at Maddie B. Raps all day long.
If you're not familiar with who Maddie B. is, first of all, it would make you in the majority. Google Maddie B.
Maddie B. is a 13-year-old white rapper, is what he is.
Who's currently grounded.
And he got grounded today.
Grounded from the internet.
Grounded from the internet. He did something. He went to the principal's office. He's a bad boy. The bad boy of rap.
Do we need to address anything else about Reese's phone call?
Let's just get him in studio.
We need to get him in here.
Reese,
he asked about OU. How do you feel about the game this weekend? How do you feel about the Red River?
I am oddly optimistic about the game.
I am too.
And that's mostly based on last year. Last year, Texas had no business even competing with OU and somehow pulled it out.
Right.
They just have been showing up against OU lately, and records don't matter in this game.
Right.
Stats don't
matter.
Throw
them out.
Rivalry games, that's kind of common anyway, but in this game in particular, as of late, that's just how it's gone. I think Texas just kind of has a, like, they have nothing to lose attitude right now.
Probably.
Charlie Strong.
You would hope so.
Charlie Strong's taking over the defense.
Yeah.
It's like win or go home. Pretty much, if any of his players care about Charlie Strong, they're going to play
That's
their
true.
Heart out for
He's
him.
A player's coach who's is on super thin ice right
Dude,
now.
Dude, I saw a tweet, a report earlier that he was already he's done, that they're firing him at the end of the season.
I did not see that one.
I did.
They're very close to it.
Which would be that it like leaked and got out that they've already made this decision, which obviously would not be great for.
But they're going to wait
already
to the end of the
fragile football program.
They're going to wait till the end of the season.
I doubt that's an accurate report.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I saw it on the Twitter.
I believe you.
And
I'm just saying. I'm not buying.
You never know.
It.
Everything on Twitter is true.
But he needs to turn the season around if he wants to keep his job.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't understand. If he pulls 8 wins out this season, I think that's a success for Texas. Like 8 or 9 wins going into the season, I feel like
what you don't understand.
Highly optimistic.
If you haven't been watching Texas, you don't. Is that is an impossibility. With this current team that they have.
Right. Their defense,
defense
is not
is
capable of keeping
one of the worst in Division I football. They cannot make a simple tackle.
I mean, you still have Iowa State at home. You still you guys play Kansas this year?
Okay.
I feel like you could
they
pull
only
out.
Have 2 wins so far.
Yeah. They're 2-2.
They got to find 6.
but in Iowa State.
Producer Micah off mic said that they lost to Iowa State last year.
But that's a road game in Ames is always tough.
But Dylan, you're feeling good about Oklahoma.
I wouldn't say I'm feeling good. I'm optimistic.
Right.
Which are kind of the same thing, but I don't feel good. I don't feel bad either.
I feel they beat Oklahoma. I feel like that's a huge win this year because Oklahoma's only two losses have been to Houston and Ohio State, who are two top five teams.
It's funny because last year when Texas beat OU, people were saying that's the win that kept Charlie Strong around for another year.
Yeah.
And we'll get the same situation
this year.
Well, the line currently as it stands on Monday at 4:18 p.m. Central Time is Texas plus 10.5.
I would pound Texas on that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points.
I like that, actually.
It is. It's a lot of points. They're going to keep it close. They will compete with OU.
Now, as a Texas fan.
I don't know
that
they're going to win, but they're going to compete.
As a Texas fan, is it your worst, like, are you cheering for Charlie, or do you want Charlie gone? And is it your worst nightmare if they actually beat Oklahoma and they keep Charlie around?
No, my worst nightmare, no. You always want to beat your rival,
right.
Always, no matter what. I like Charlie Strong. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a great guy. But he's had enough time to do something in Austin. He hasn't done it yet. And if he doesn't do anything this year, he's got to go.
All right.
He's got to turn the season completely around for me to believe in him. But I would like to see him stick around because I like the guy.
Now, let's say they get completely run off the field. Do you think he gets fired?
They won't fire him midseason. Not midseason, no. Although Red McCombs today, big OU or Texas booster, Red McCombs, owner of the Vikings, said that he wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
If he got fired mid-season.
Something along those lines, if he got fired midseason. But
would they make the offensive coordinator that just came over from Tulsa the interim coach if that happens?
I have no idea what
they don't really talk about that shit.
Succession plan.
Next phone call.
Hey, this is Jake. Did you see that fat shit kicker from Penn State get, like, fucking murdered? It was fantastic. Because they're playing Minnesota, and he's running down the field. And this is what he's been doing all season, is just, like, picking on guys because he's, like, they're like 280 or something like that. Some just obscene weight for somebody to kick a football with. He's just running down the field, and he just understands immediately that he bit off more than he can chew, which I'm assuming he's never done before, judging by his weight. And he just checks to make sure his mouthpiece is in. And then somebody from Minnesota just straight throws a shoulder right into his chest. And, I mean, that he's going to get bullied for a long time. He was out. Just immediately, just laying on the ground, just like you imagine, like a fat kid falling off a bike. He just lays on the ground like the wind's knocked out of him. I imagine he cried. Oh, that was fun. That was fun.
That was fun.
Oh fuck! But yeah, Joey Julius, the
Penn State kicker. I actually saw today. I saw that he has a eating disorder. News came out today that he struggled with an eating disorder.
It's a binge eating disorder.
Yeah.
Not like a anorexia or bulimia. It's the opposite, where
you eat
your feelings or whatever. That being said, Joey Julius has made a name for himself by being the big fat kicker who sprints down the field
and just wrecks
someone that's smaller than him. Turns out Minnesota was not down for that shit. The dude that hit him was linebacker Jalen Waters, who got thrown out of the game for targeting, but he destroyed him.
Can you imagine explaining to your coach that you got thrown out of the game,
dude,
and maybe next week's game, like the first half of next week's game?
They might have put him in there
For
that very purpose, though, because, I mean, this guy had no intention of doing anything on this play except for destroying Joey Julius, and my God, did he destroy him.
Not really.
We're playing the video now.
That's what got him tossed for targeting. That's kind of bullshit. Like
he went high.
He launched. He launched
a little bit, but there's a recent trend in college football right now where people are getting thrown out of games for targeting, and it's not even close to being a penalty. And they review it.
Oh my God!
They review it every time.
You just assaulted him on that one.
They review it every time. They always get it wrong, and I don't understand it. They're costing kids serious game time.
Right,
dude. Kids' brains are turning into mush, man. They have to do that shit now, especially in college.
But someone got tossed. I saw for hitting a quarterback in the midsection.
Yeah, but if he launched, it's targeting.
I think it's helmet to helmet.
I'll launch on you, man.
All right.
But I mean, it kind of it blows my mind that they get like a second chance to fix the wrong with replay, and they just get it wrong every time.
Julius weighs 258.
That's really, like, not that's being very nice to Julius too.
Yeah, that's
258.
Anyway, I mean, he's got a stash. He's number 99.
I actually love this
but
kid,
dude. If you full sprint down the field with the intention of embarrassing a member of the other team every game of the season, this was going to happen at some point. At some point,
someone was going to take a
fucking linebacker was going to destroy him.
That is a perfect headline in picture combo. Was that a Deadspin article? No. Anyway.
But yeah, no, we did see that. Thank you for the call. On to the next one.
What's up? This is Ryan from Missouri State / Arkansas, Woo Pig. I just want to say a huge shout-out thank you to fucking Wolf. I was down big going into the day, and I followed his instructions, and now I'm up going into tomorrow. Probably going to go with the pass to cover because you don't fuck with Belichick. And that's D at home. Doesn't matter who's fucking playing quarterback. They can throw fucking Edelman back there, and you'll know who run the fucking Wildcat. Checking in from Oktoberfest in St. Louis. I gotta say, it's a piss-poor Oktoberfest, but, hey, they're trying. But, yeah, again, huge shout-out to fucking Wolf. The
fuck is he talking
about? You guys should have him on the show more often. Anyway, you guys' podcast kicks ass, and Ross, keep making oysters, clams, and tackles. That shit fucks hard. Anyway, watch out for the Pigs upset Alabama next week. And other than that, have a good night. There, you can hear some bullshit poker going on. All right, see you guys. Thank you.
Well, that guy was sober.
Hey, man, good job putting all your money on the Pats the next day.
That was the ultimate gambling phone call.
Yeah.
He just won big off the fucking Wolf.
Ultimate high.
He's going to stay high by going on Pats.
Ultimate low.
Immediately took the Pats to cover.
The Pats put
up 0 points. Which I'm still not really understanding what the fuck is going on in the NFL. The Pats blanked the Texans, and then they got blanked the following week.
Brady's back, so Pats will be fine.
Anyway, that was a solid gambling phone call. From a guy who just had a shitty roller coaster of a weekend based on what he just told us. All right, let's listen to the last one. We got one more.
How's it going, guys? This is Tortilla Silver calling from the Bryan College Station area. And I've got a question for Dylan and Ross. And I guess it pertains to Dan as well. So my question is, how did you bear going 4 years to a university that had laughable athletic programs in all aspects? I'm not asking this question from a mocking standpoint. I'm asking this from a place of genuine curiosity. How did you go to Texas State for 4 years with no legitimate athletic programs whatsoever? Appreciate it, guys. Gig 'em and go Buffs.
No. First of all, I didn't go to Texas State for 4 years. I went for like 5.5 years.
I went for 3, actually.
Yeah, and then you went to St. Ed's, right?
I transferred, yeah.
But it's important to note that, no, I don't put UCF and Dan in the same category as Texas State, first of all. They do have semi-legitimate sports.
I mean, when I was in school, we won a Fiesta Bowl. Like, we won a BCS Bowl.
Well, let's exclude you from this.
Texas State doesn't go to bowl games.
No.
We don't have teams.
I'll tell you one positive to it is that you never have high expectations. And
but
so you never get let down.
It's not really a positive. I'll say this is how you get through it. You drink a lot more. I think it's more of a focus, like drinking without a purpose is more of a focus than at normal schools where you have like y'all have like events like a tailgate. We don't have that. We just drink, you know, outdoors.
There is a little half-assed tailgate scene in San Marcos, Texas.
Yeah, it's trash.
But that's probably the shittiest part about not having a legitimate football program, because there's not an actual tailgate scene.
Well,
it has gotten better since we left, because we've been there for a couple games.
They try, but it's still, you're tailgating for like a high school football game is the equivalent of the product you're watching on the field is not good.
But there's no question that if you go to, say, a UGA, you're going to have a lot more fun during college football season than a Texas State student.
And I will say this. I was never a huge college. Like, I didn't have any loyalty to a college football team growing up. Like, my whole family's Aggies on both sides. I didn't really care for the Aggies. I was never a Longhorns guy. I never gave really much of a shit about college football until I got to college and started watching college football. So it didn't really hurt me much. Like, I didn't get to Texas State and, like, realize, like, oh, fuck, we don't have a football team.
Right.
Like, I didn't really care. I just wanted to get fucked up. So I was fine. But in hindsight, like, it's a huge difference in your college experience going somewhere like Texas State, which I would go to again if I was given the option. I fucking loved it. I'm just saying it definitely makes a massive, massive difference.
Yeah, you bring up a good point because I grew up a Longhorn fan. Like, I'm from Austin. I didn't get into UT, obviously. Went to Texas State instead. But
idiot.
I remained a fan. And so I was always, even when I was at Texas State, I always just paid close attention to UT football. And I would even go back to Austin occasionally on game day and do all the tailgating thing and all that. I wouldn't recommend doing it that way, but that was my mindset at the time.
See, and I'll say this, the lack of football didn't make the girls less hot.
Fact, yeah.
See, I actually enjoyed going to UCF, though, and not really having the highest of expectations, because I grew up a Penn State fan, and I know when I rolled up to Happy Valley for the UCF-Penn State game, like, all my buddies from back home came up for the game, too. They were mocking me. Like, we were trying to get, like, Penn State always makes gear for, like, teams they play, like, Penn State versus whoever. They make, like, buttons and T-shirts and stuff.
Right.
And so we go to try to get some swag for that game, and they're like, oh, no, we only make stuff for the big games. So we ended up rolling in. It was Bortles last year, his junior year, when we won the Fiesta Bowl, and we ended up rolling Penn State. It was a little closer at the end, but we were up by, like, 2 touchdowns the entire game. It was awesome. It was incredible. I got to shove that in my friend's face.
Well, there you go.
But
I think we thoroughly answered that question.
Yep. Yeah, that was a great call. Yep. Great question. No offense taken.
None.
Fucking Aggies.
Although guy spends his college days in College Station, Texas. I don't know.
Why do Aggies, they're so obsessed with talking about Bryan College Station? Just say you go to fucking A&M. We all know where it is.
It's a little off. It's just weird vibes everywhere.
It looks like a jail.
That's how the Aggies are. They're a strange cult of humans.
For those who don't know, I guess most people outside of Texas don't. They have this thing called Fish Camp. When you're a freshman, it's like an overnight orientation type thing. I don't know how many days it is. 3 days, producer Micah says. And from what I understand, they just brainwash the fuck out of you. Like, well, a cult-like.
Have you ever met a normal Aggie?
They're called 2%ers. Have you heard that term?
No.
2% of Aggies are, like, not bought into the whole,
so
like, cult-like.
I think my dad is one of them.
Yes. Yes, he is.
But I've got other family members.
Anyway, at this fish camp, they teach them all these chants and shit and probably just drug them and just brainwash
the
shit out of
them. That's what I think it is. It's like
they tie them down and, like, show them these weird light shows with music. I don't know.
Granted, I went.
They come back weird as fuck. That's all I know.
Granted, I went to an A&M game a few years ago when they played Ole Miss, and the atmosphere was awesome.
Oh,
it was incredible.
Absolutely.
For the first
absolutely
10 minutes, and then Ole Miss blew the doors off.
A&M, they do football games right. I will give them that.
It's just, it's about more than just the football. And look, the Aggies, they love this shit.
They have weird rules around campus, like you can't walk on the grass.
They love this shit, though. If you're an Aggie, you love it. If you're not, from the outside looking in, you're like, what the hell is wrong with these people?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where all the sheep fucking jokes come from, and they're just a different... The core. I'm not aware of another college, at least, you know, again, I'm in Texas, so it's in my vicinity, that does this to their fan base, where they're lifelong cult weirdos.
But are they even that successful? Like, they had Manziel football for that little run there.
They have a pretty good football.
They had that
tradition.
Big, I mean, they had that one Big 12 championship. I think Micah said with the slant. What was it called, Micah?
Sir Parker
on the slant.
Remember when they joined the SEC and magically gained like 4 national championships overnight? Because they just counted.
Yeah, but everybody does that. Just tack on some other ones to their fucking.
I feel like they aren't that. They've always been wildly.
How many natties do they
wildly
have?
Mediocre.
Two? Like, legitimate national championships, just one?
Yeah.
The basketball program's been pretty solid. DeAndre Jordan went there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've had a few runs? Like, have they been in the Final Four?
There's a lot of good Aggies. They produce some good NFL talent. Final Four? I mean, arguably the best defensive player in football right now is an Aggie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not arguably. He is.
Yeah. And, I mean, it just... Dude, they have a good good football tradition.
He's not better than healthy J.J. Watt.
No, but J.J. Watt's not healthy.
Right.
In fact, he's quite injured.
The opposite.
He gone. He gone.
But, yeah. No, I mean... thanks for the call, Aggie.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Y'all have any shouts? That's pretty much it. We're ready to, like, wrap this thing up.
Do we have any shouts?
Shouts to me for not gambling while I was at ACL because I would have lost my ass this weekend. So shouts to myself.
Shouts to the city of Austin for putting on a good music fest.
Shouts to Boulder. I know you hate the song Closer, but there's a nice little...
It does. There is a Boulder tie-in
in there.
Nice
little Boulder reference.
That song is trash.
I like
though.
Boulder. I do not like that song.
Can we just end the podcast with Closer?
No.
Boulder is
badass. We don't have the rights to that, Dan.
We'll get sued. Boulder is fucking tight.
Can we just have Dylan do a rendition of Closer?
Dude, no. we need to go to the Buffs like last game of the year or pray that they get into a bowl and go to the fucking bowl.
Why don't we just go? We'll bring a camera, microphone.
We're going to need some type of security.
I mean, I've been saying this.
Anti-drug security.
The AD of Colorado just needs to invite us.
What do you mean the anti-drug security?
Because if you go into Boulder and you don't have your shit in check, next thing you know, you're just on Molly.
I'll hit a spliff. I'm not hitting any Molly, though. I'm not taking Molly.
It won't be up to you. They'll have, like, cut that shit
no
up.
No one's drug raping me.
They'll put it in the weed and not tell you.
Well, then I'm not. No, I'll get my own weed.
But it's not
I'll
even you smoking the weed. It's more of just like, it's just the air.
You ever seen the movie Training Day?
You can't ingest Molly by the air, Dan.
The smoke that they blow through.
Dan, smoke Molly, Dan.
Smoke Molly, man.
God damn it, Dan.
Freebasing Molly. You ever seen Training Day?
We should go up there. It's pretty cheap
you
to fly up there.
You know how in Training Day, I don't think I've seen it.
He
hands him a pipe to hit, and he thinks it's weed, and he starts smoking it, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's high on PCP.
Do you not know me? Do you think I'm going to go up to some random, like, you know, Colorado student, like, hey, let me hit that pipe, son.
It's not up to you.
I'm thinking about
it is entirely up to me. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Not in Boulder, man.
I'm terrified of drugs. You know that about me.
I got the invite from intern Wes to come up for the Utah game. Utah.
What does that mean?
In Boulder. Utah, Colorado. I think we should go.
Is he gonna pay for your... I mean, what does that mean he invited you to a game?
Like, hey, you can crash on my couch.
I mean, okay. Not even because it's
nothing.
A hotel.
That means nothing.
I'm just saying, like, the invite's there. Also, another kid from Boulder, freshman, invited me to his dorm.
Again, what does that mean? Him inviting
question.
You?
I got something.
No one needs to invite you to go to a football game. You know that, right?
If you're a Buffs fan and you listen to the podcast, will you please tweet at us or email us or somehow
make
it known?
Who do we get
known?
In contact
with? Because I'm, you know what? I think it might be funny if we have zero Buffs listeners. And that's a possibility.
They're not into football.
That's not
true. It's a real possibility. They're all just
They tweet
high.
At us all the time. Like,
they're high.
You see Saturday or Sunday, too, we were getting tweets about just like the rankings of...
All right. Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs, man. And shouts to my school, too. My alma mater. UCF, 3-2. I know you guys love when I talk UCF, but
shouts to the shit
out of the Pirates.
Shouts to the St. Edward's Hilltoppers who were undefeated.
Shouts because there's no team.
They don't have a football team.
And shouts to the Eagles for beating the bye.
Okay.
Still undefeated.
Shouts to the
Get Mike's.
We need some type of defined thing that makes you worth a shout. Dan just got his mic turned off.
No, that's a good thing.
Hey, subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave us a review. Apparently there are some really funny reviews in there now, so we're going to get in there and read some this Thursday during the podcast. So thank you to people who have been writing funny reviews. Check out our other podcasts in the Grand X Media Network, such as Touching Base, which Dylan is also on. It's his side bitch. This is your main piece.
I really love Touching Base, but this is my shit.
That felt like a big fuck you to me
and
Dan.
I love Touching Base. No centric theme. We just freeball it a lot. It's great.
Also, Dudes Doing Business is another one of our podcasts, and the Inside TFM podcast is another one of our podcasts. Check them shits out. Follow us on Twitter at Backdoor Cover. The Pick'em site is pinned to the top of that thing. Get in there and make your picks for this week. And DM us photos at TFM Tailgate on Instagram from your tailgate every week. Prizes to be had. Also, email us videos from your tailgate every week to backdoorcoverpodcast@gmail.com. That's it. That's fucking it.
Get it.
Play the fire theme song.